Welcome to the Big Week in Gaming podcast. And what do you know? It's been a big week in gaming. I'm in Tagot for this emergency on-demand episode on Friday the 16th of Feb 2024. I'm joined, as always, by...
Oh, you didn't say my name.
No, I mixed it up.
Am I meant to fill in the blanks? Is that what we turned into?
Because I want you to go, Swinny! So what are we doing, Swinny?
We are going to watch the Xbox business update, or updates on the Xbox business, as they have phrased it on the official Xbox podcast. So on the last big week, or big week on demand,
big week on demand episode, the bod pod.
Oh god, that does not sound right. We said that we will attempt to react and watch and I guess analyze whatever they're going to talk about, which we kind of have an idea of where it might be going, but we'll see what they actually do say here, because they're probably not going to reveal all the eggs in their basket. They're probably just going to do enough to kind of, I guess, maybe appease the masses for now, you know, so.
And we should say we're recording it like a couple of hours after it got uploaded, so pretty fresh, but, and we don't know anything about it other than it's like a 20-something minute video.
Yeah, the only thing since the last on-demand episode was an update to the from The Verge around this stuff, which basically, from that, they basically said that Pentiment was added to their list of like initial games that they may put out on our platforms, and that's pretty much the only thing since the last show that that I kind of know in addition to.
I didn't even know about. That. Okay. Yeah. All right. Do you want to get stuck into it?
Let's do it.
You ready to sync it up? Ready?
Yep.
Let's go.
Hello and welcome to the official Xbox podcast. I'm your host, Tina Amini, and we have a very special episode today, as you can probably tell by the fact that I'm joined by Phil, Sarah, and Matt. Welcome. And we're going to talk about some updates at Xbox. We want to talk about game exclusivity. We want to talk about Activision Blizzard, now that they're part of our portfolio, how that might be an impact on Game Pass. And we want to talk about hardware, too, and how all of this fits into the strategy at Xbox. Sure. So where should we start, Phil?
Well, when we originally had planned for the show, starting back in December.
What a start. What a negative start.
We probably would have started with Activision Blizzard. Maybe talked a little bit about the exclusivity with some of the news coming up, and then hardware. But we've had some unforeseen news that has come out. So let's just go and tackle the exclusivity question, because I know it's on the minds of a lot of people. We hear from the community, and that's an important
input for us. Can I pause it for a second? Now, you know what the vibe of this does remind me of?
Sorry, I forget. I have to pause.
Yeah, you have to pause. We have to sing. Sorry. I haven't done it as efficiently as the past. The vibe already strikes me. Do you know what it strikes me of? You remember the famous interview with Oprah and Lance Armstrong, where it's like, did he cheat? Did he not? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, let's just get straight into it. Did you do drugs? Yes. Did you do this? Did you cheat into it? You know, it's got that vibe, doesn't it?
It like, does.
Let's go straight into it.
It has the vibe of ripping the band-aid.
Yeah, off. Yeah. Damn. All right, let's go. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
So we made the decision that we're going to take 4 games to the other consoles. Just 4 games.
4 games.
Not a change to our kind of fundamental exclusive strategy. We're making these decisions for some specific reasons. We make every decision really with the long-term health of Xbox in mind. And long-term health of Xbox means a growing platform, our games performing, building the best platform for creators, reaching as many players as we can.
Grounded?
We're always looking to learn as a leadership team
and
to grow. And we think this is an interesting point in time for us to use what some of the other platforms have right now to help grow our franchises. So we're going to do that.
So these 4 titles, what are they? Can you say?
Halo Infinite.
I'm not going to name those games. The teams that are building those games have announced plans that are not too far away.
Oh, come on,
as we know, game teams put a lot of energy into their announcements with the partners. So I don't want to take anything away from those teams. So I won't be talking about the titles specifically, but I think when they come out, it'll make sense.
Can we say if either of those titles are Starfield or Indiana Jones?
They are not Starfield or Indiana Jones.
Well, what was the criteria in how the team was thinking about selecting those 4 titles?
Let me start a little bit outside of that, and then I'll get to the 4 specific games that we're talking about right now. Because the fundamental decision driver for any decision. Right, okay, that
sorry,
we
I know I'm pausing all the time. Can I pause?
Today is the long-term health.
Like, so you know, like I work in corporate, like, and I know a lot about PR and stuff. Like, it's so bizarre that she asked a question, and he's like, "No, no, no, I'm going to talk about, like, I'm going to give you the context of something else first. Like, I'm not going to answer your question." I don't know. Do you not find that strange?
It is a bit odd, but I'm also not really familiar with the kind of vibe that they usually do on this podcast and how often they do this show and if this is par for the course for them.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Because I know, I remember they had a thing, and I think it was probably on their podcast feed or whatever, when they had the whole Bethesda stuff, and they had, you know, like Bethesda talking heads as well, Phil Spencer and stuff. And that kind of, that definitely wasn't a weird vibe, but it was kind of very casual, you know, so. But this year, there's, it's like something's off. It's like something eerie.
His body language is so negative. It's so crazy. Like, he's very closed up, and yeah, it's really odd to me. Whereas Sarah Bond is not. It's very calm. But anyway, ready to start again?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, go.
Of Xbox, that we're running a growing platform that is reaching more players, that our games are having as much success as possible. And I do have a fundamental belief that over the next 5 or 10 years,
confirmed for other
exclusive games that are exclusive
red, so it's gonna
to
be
one
for
piece
Nintendo.
Of hardware, are going to be a smaller and smaller part of the game industry. And that's not some great insight, because if you look at the last 10 years and what the biggest games are today, it's a natural place, whether it's one console and PC, multiple consoles, mobile console and PC, you see big games
mobile, Xbox confirmed.
On multiple platforms. And we want to be a great platform for creators that are trying to realize that potential. But now back to the specifics of the question on these four specific titles. We looked at games that are over a year old, so they've been on Xbox and PC for a while. A couple of the games are community-driven games, new games that kind of first iterations of a franchise that have reached their full potential, I'd say, on Xbox and PC. There's always growth.
Yeah.
Franchises grounded that we obviously want to continue to invest in. Part of having the ability to continue to invest is that the businesses behind those franchises continue. We think it's important that these service-based games that have communities behind them, that they can have confidence that they're going to exist in the future. So two of them, kind of community-driven games that will end up on other platforms and give us the ability to continue to invest in them. We think that's great for the business and great for the communities, more players to play with. I'd say two of the other games are smaller games that were never really meant to be built as kind of platform exclusives and all the fanfare that goes around
that. Kind of stupid, because it's like everyone knows what these games are now.
But games that our teams really wanted to go build.
But I don't want to ruin the surprise.
Supporting creative endeavors across our studios.
One starts with P and then ends with
And as they realize their full potential on Xbox and PC, we see an opportunity to utilize the other platforms as a place to
just
drive more business value out of those games, allowing us to invest in maybe future iterations of those, so sequels to those,
Man, really
or just
to
other
weasel
games
out of
like
this
that
whole
in our
situation.
Portfolio. And when we don't damage Xbox and we can grow our business
don't
using what
Xbox.
Other platforms have to help us with that, we're going to do that. And that's really the story behind these four games. And last thing I'll say, looking forward, you know, I think there is an interesting story for us of introducing Xbox franchises to players on other platforms to get them more interested in Xbox. We think there's a good brand value
can we
for
pause?
Xbox
can we
there.
Pause?
So,
okay, this is fucking stupid. Like, I actually am not the biggest fan of Phil generally. I think I've always made that pretty clear. Because I think he's good at sucking people into the narrative, but his strategy is shit. Like, this idea that here's our idea. Let's put our franchises on other platforms to entice you to come to Xbox. What a fucking illogical. Like,
the only way that would ever make sense to me is if you had Game Pass on that platform and that was a way to play that game, because that would be an enticing into the Xbox ecosystem.
Yeah,
right?
correct. See, that would work. So
that would be the only way for me.
Let's say if it was like this world where, you know, and I could really see a world like this where, you know, the EU and even the US says you can't have a platform without allowing people to have, you know, services like that on there. Mm. Like, e.g., PlayStation can't block Xbox from having Game Pass on their service. As long as they charge them 30% and all that kind of stuff, you know, they can't block it. You know, it's already kind of happening to Apple a little bit with their App Store.
Mm.
Anyway, like, that would work. I would see that working, because then you go, well, are you going to pay $120 Australian for Starfield, $120 for Halo, whatever, and then, oh, I could just get Game Pass. That could work. But tell me a fucking other example of, like, Netflix goes, we're going to put, like, our Stranger Things onto Disney Plus to entice people to get to Netflix. Like, what? Like, what world does that make sense? Because it's actually just making me even more go, why would I get an Xbox? Like, even the interesting, you know, indie, then I know they're not indie, but you know what I mean? Like, the indie style, smaller, you know, double A games are coming to my platform. So what do I care?
And the thing is, right, if they're banking on, and I'm sure they're probably not, but if they're saying, okay, well, if someone gets super into Hi-Fi Rush on PlayStation and Hi-Fi Rush comes out, 2 comes out on Xbox and it's there for a year before it comes to PlayStation, people aren't going to buy a console to play the sequel,
because
they're like, well, they'll put it on PlayStation eventually.
So, like, this is the thing, right? This is because, let's be real, Sony are doing this strategy already with PC, right? Now, there's a couple of things there. It's like, okay, we have our games. Once they run their course, I think the earliest they've ever done a game is like 1 year, but it's normally around 2 years. So they get their peak sales from PlayStation, then they launch it onto PC. Like, even the biggest franchises, put it on PC, right? That's not hurting PlayStation, because no one's going, oh, why would I get an Xbox if they're just going to bring it on? No, they're putting a PC. And they're acknowledging those PC people aren't coming to PlayStation. Like, if you're willing to wait years and years and then it comes out and play it there, well, you're not really a kind of person. Like, you're not that demographic that's going to go, I want to play on PlayStation. I want to have, like, a 480 Ti fucking super, whatever it's fucking called, right? Like, they know it's not going to, you know, cut their grass. But the idea of, like, PlayStation going, because, okay, let's just pause for a second. What would stop the logic from going, why doesn't PlayStation do this to Xbox? Why doesn't Nintendo do this? There's no difference. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, why don't we put our great PlayStation games on Xbox to entice people to come to PlayStation? It's, I don't know. It's like, are they really being serious? Like, this is the logic? Or is this just like the cover-off? You know what I mean?
Well, the thing is, I'm not against this idea myself, but when I look at this from like their business strategy standpoint, it doesn't grow Xbox consoles.
It doesn't
make sense to me. It grows their potential as a third-party publisher,
yes,
but not as a platform holder.
And this is why I've never been a real fan of Phil, because I feel like he tries to be like this guy who's like, oh, you know, I'm just a man of the people. I'm a gamer, which he is a gamer, right? But he's a fucking businessman. And he knows Xbox is done as a console. How do I go from here to 5 years where we don't have a console, right? And there's going to be steps. And this is a step. Like, getting people accustomed and acclimatized to some of our games are going to go to other places. And then eventually it will be Starfield. And then eventually it will be Halo. And then people will see the writing on the wall. But he's kind of bullshitting, like, oh, I'm still doing this to grow Xbox as a console. Now, I could be completely wrong when they announce the next Xbox console, next-gen console. And I'd be shocked if they did that. But yeah. Anyway, do you want to unpause?
It's great. All right,
3, 2, 1, go.
No promise beyond that. So if you're on those other platforms and you see these four games coming, please don't take it as some signal that everything's coming. It's not. and we're going to learn.
So when you are thinking about the future and this concept of live service games, games that can benefit from bigger audiences, new audiences, how does that apply to future titles and how you're applying that criteria there?
Yeah, there's really no fundamental change to how we think about exclusivity. We just came out of Developer Direct, which was an awesome show.
Yeah, say it these, all like Halo Infinite multiplayer.
Xbox and PC and cloud, which really makes them accessible to, you know, hundreds of millions of people. So it's this kind of, we're really focused on a couple platforms and what's going to show up there. But our key of play the games you want with the people you want, anywhere you want, anybody play, when everybody plays, we all win. These have been part of our strategy for years and will continue to be. Our focus is on how do we continue to grow the games industry by reaching more players in more places.
And that's what I was saying.
And how do we grow Xbox as part of that? Xbox is a hardware platform. Xbox is a publisher.
Honestly, of like, we've always
Xbox
been focused
as
on
a
that.
Platform for the world's best creators.
Mm-hmm. And then knowing that, how do we think about our first party games and Game Pass?
Yeah, well, to build on what Phil just said, one thing I would add was you were talking about growth.
I say that all the time at work.
Just that,
to build on.
We've sort of seen this inversion over the last 5 years where it used to be that the platform was the biggest thing.
Exactly.
And the games would sort of tuck in within the platform. Today, big games like a Roblox or a Fortnite could actually be bigger than any one platform. And that really has changed the way that we think about things. So in the midst of all that, I think we at First Party can come back to sort of some core principles. First, that all of our games will be on the Xbox platform. Second, all of our games will go into Game Pass on day one.
What does
and
first
third,
party
we
mean?
Know that Game Pass will only
it's
be
really
available on Xbox. So there's sort
I
of
mean,
starting points for
them,
us.
You know.
As Phil mentioned, there are games today that you can play that only can be found on Xbox. And at the same time, we want to bring more
shortening,
of our games to players. So we're
like
going to continue to look at that.
Exclusive for
kind of moving aside, though, from some of those and thinking more about what does it really mean for the player. To me, the two key things are cross-play and cross-save. Those things allow us to deliver on the promise of Xbox, which is play with your friends where they are, play on the devices you want, play the games you want. So that is really only possible at a practical level when you know that your saves and your player are going to be able to move across all those parts. So not all of our games today are necessarily built to take advantage of that. There still will be some games that don't. As we bring more teams into the Xbox family, there's some catch-up to do as we get there. But that cross-play, cross-save is like so fundamental to what we're doing. And I think is something that we as First Party get such a good benefit from being so close to the platform.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things, like you said, all of our games are always in Game Pass. And so I'm excited to announce, you know, with the coming together that we have with Activision Blizzard King, that Activision and Blizzard games are coming to Game Pass, starting with Diablo 4 on March 28th, which I'm super, super excited to share today.
Finally. Why is
and
she
it's
sharing
all
that?
Part
That's
of our
crazy.
Commitment to make Xbox experience and the games that we build as widely available as possible.
Money,
so now the 34 million Game Pass members can all enjoy the fantastic experience of Diablo 4.
Amazing. Can we come back to the point, Phil, you mentioned at the top, this isn't really a change in strategy for us. Can you recap how it isn't?
Yeah. And I thought both Matt and Sarah did a really nice job of talking about what we're doing on Xbox, where we're going. You know, if you take a platform feature like Xbox Play Anywhere, which has been a promise that we've made on our first party games, that you can buy our game once, you're going to get play across Xbox and Windows. I think we're the only platform that does this. That makes it possible for you not only to play with your friends wherever they are, but to know that you actually have multiple entitlements to the games. I think that's a technology I'd love to see apply to more platforms. But it is this view that people are going to play Xbox in multiple places, whether it's play the games you want with the people you want, anywhere you want, whether it's content, community, and cloud, whether it's when everybody plays, we all win. Like, we've had different taglines, different strategy kind of words that we've used, but always with this view that Xbox is a platform for creators who want to reach the most players. Our investments in xCloud, our investments in franchises like Minecraft and now Call of Duty and other large franchises so that we learn how to build those. This has been a strategy that we've been on for, I'd say, a
decade. Yeah, of course. But they can't say that.
It's not about one device.
They can't say that.
It's not about games in service of a device, but rather the devices that people want to play on should be in service of making the games as big and popular as they possibly could be. Because really, a healthy creator community on Xbox, a healthy creator community in gaming all up, is the thing that all of us as game players should be voting for, because that's the thing that will lead to the best long-term success and growth in this industry.
And my understanding, just from listening and learning from you three over the past few weeks, just understanding what's happening with Xbox, is that we see trends with player behavior where people are playing on multiple devices. Mm-hmm. That is the reality. And we have put some games out on multiple platforms before. Right? So my understanding is that that's been good for players. How does that come back to the business with all of that in mind?
Also,
yeah, as you said, we have like shipped games on other platforms. In fact, realistically, if you look with the addition of Activision and Blizzard,
that's the future. What I'm talking about,
we're one of the largest game publishers on PlayStation. We're one of the largest publishers on the Nintendo Switch, especially when you put Minecraft into the equation as well. And now we're one of the largest publishers.
Can I just pause for a second?
On mobile platforms as well.
So it's like, I was just typing. I was thinking of show title ideas, but it's like, because I look. You know, as much as I criticize Phil, I think like the strategy makes sense of what they're trying to do. And then you look at the IP that they have, right? Like, you know, those title cards that we just saw with like just even random shit like Doom and like all this kind of stuff, right? Mm. It's almost like I look at it and go, how can they fuck this up? Right? Like, it's just we said it last show, and go back and listen to that if you want to, but like the amount of fuck ups they've had since they've launched Series X of just like not nailing any like killer games where people go, fuck, I really want to play that game. And it's only on Xbox, you know? And then you look at the pipeline. Cause I think if you get a couple right, like a couple of those big games right, and then you can sell the story of like, hey, that's a couple of these games. Look at all these other franchises we have. They're going to come. You know, I feel like you get a lot of momentum then, but because it's kind of splattered out of the gates, you just almost have no confidence. But I mean, the next Doom is going to be sick, I'm sure. You know, like all of this kind of stuff. But anyway, do you want to go back into it?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, let's go.
That's not something that we want to back away from. We want to continue to be building great games that millions and millions of people can love, and that they can play those games where they want to go play. But we do understand the business success that Xbox has to have. Us as leaders in this business, the system today, the system that all companies that we play video games from, is a world of you got to be growing your business. Growth in our Xbox business is critical to the long-term health of Xbox. Many people know I've been on Xbox for over 20 years, and I want to make sure Xbox is in the best position for the next 20 years. That means healthy player community, healthy creator community, and healthy business. So when we look at opportunities to allow more people to play, more people engage, more people to buy, more people to subscribe, it's all about putting Xbox in the best position. And our hardware is a critical component of that. The absolute best experience somebody has on Xbox is hardware that your team builds and that people play on. But that's not going to be everybody. We fully accepted that we're going to have Xbox players across all kinds of devices.
So I think a lot of people think about 2023 as this incredible year for gaming. And in a lot of ways it was. There were some really amazing releases that I think we all enjoyed. Mm-hmm. But what were the signals behind the scenes that maybe indicated how we wanted to at the future of Xbox and how we kind of keep up with the industry?
The last podcast.
Yeah, such a good question. And I think it's, as people who care about the industry, which I assume is people who are watching this, it was an amazing year. Some great launches.
I want to see if he says
momentum.
Some
I think will stand the test of time and people will be talking about a decade from now. But it's an industry that didn't really grow. And what happens when an industry doesn't grow? You end up with some job eliminations, which we had. We had even our own hard decisions to make about building a sustainable business for ourselves. But in no way were we alone in that. When you think about a healthy industry, I want players who believe that they will find the best games on the platforms that they love. I want people who invest their careers in working here to feel like this is a place that can be successful. And that really is down to being part of an industry that is growing. If you listen to Lisa Su, the AMD CEO, she'll say that AMD-powered consoles are likely to decline in 2024. I think there's an amazing set of games coming in 2024, but if we don't get to growing as an industry, the industry will struggle. And today there's really two choices on how do you grow the industry. Do you say, I have a fixed number of players, the players that we have today, and do I find new ways to monetize those players to get more money from the players that I have? Or do you think about how do I expand the business I have
or maybe make
by finding new players and adding those to the base of players that already play. Our focus on Xbox for the last decade has really been on that latter point of how do we make sure Xbox is growing, growing for our players, growing for our creators, so those people are finding success
on our platform,
which will grow the Xbox business and put Xbox in a position to be very strong for years and decades to come.
Matt, earlier you were talking about these growing gaming communities, how they're incredibly large and you know, comparable on such a different level when we think about console audiences. Like you mentioned Roblox, you mentioned Fortnite. So how are we, we're obviously thinking about our responsibility, our hardware responsibility is supporting the growth of gaming communities. How has that actually shown up for the players? Are there game other games we can speak to from our portfolio?
Well, as Phil mentioned, I mean, two of the biggest ones for us, Call of Duty and Minecraft, I mean, they are driven just from the bottom up by the communities of people that play those games, which is so great. I think, about it, for the player community, it comes down to where are the friends, where are the people you play with, and then equally important is where have you built up your library of games, right? Where's where have you invested? Where's
this
that library?
I think
those two things probably are some of the biggest influences on where people choose to play and what devices they choose to play.
Yeah.
When we think about, on the other side, the developer side, just any game developer wants their game to find the biggest audience possible. That's just the nature of building a game. You want people to enjoy and participate in what you've made. And I think we're in a unique position to deliver on that just because we are the platform. We build hardware. We've got a first-party games group, and then we've got a system that ties that together, that brings together your friends, your progression, your achievements, all of that. And I think that's really what has contributed to the momentum behind some of these communities.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you look at, just step back and you look at the history of the industry, we've moved from a place where it used to be that someone built and launched a game to accelerate hardware to actually the things we do with our hardware and with our platform are all in service of making those games bigger. And we think about that across all of the investments we make, the consoles.
So I'm obviously, as achievement hunter, I'm always on True Achievements, and that's like a real diehard, obviously, Xbox community. And the amount of people that were saying off the back of some of these reports, the more credible reports, even they're like, oh, this is just rumor mongering, this is like, this is not going to happen, blah blah blah, right? And some of them, I'm just interested to see what communities like that, how they respond to this, because they're obviously not going into any more detail than, hey, we've got four games we're gonna put out. So it's, I reckon there's going to be a lot of people like, no, see, I told you so. Xbox isn't dead. They didn't say anything about not making Xboxes and stuff. And it's like, they're not going to talk about that. Like, they're talking, they're just wanting to just put the fires out right now to at least get to the next step and stage in that journey. So it's, I'm just interested to see what that fallout's going to be from this.
I think, like, for me, and I was going to say this to the end, but I'll just, you know, it's a good time given that you said that. On these things, you often need to really focus more on what's not said than what is said. And the fact that they keep on avoiding the word console, they don't talk about, like, you know, like an Xbox console or like the series. I don't even think they've said this, the word Series X or Series S in the whole 16 minutes so far. I don't, like, do you recall them saying Series X?
I'm not sure.
I don't think they have, man.
I've been spoiled by these timestamps, so they may bring it up soon. But
I'm fascinated if they talk about hardware and they talk about, like, they dance around it, and I feel like if they don't address it at all, to me that's just like it, at a minimum, it just shows that they're really genuinely going, maybe we won't go again, because they kind of have to make a decision now. It's not like you can make a console in a year. Unless you're like in television. So it's like, I'm sure they'd have to almost or have already made a decision of if they're going to make another console or not, you know? So, and I think this is why all this stuff's coming to a head now. Because it's a bit like, are we going to do this? Yes or no? What does that mean for what we're doing now? Because if we're not going to make another console, then we might as well start transitioning to a multi-plat future right now. So,
well, I mean, they haven't brought it up at all, and I don't know if they're going to, but to me, the most logical next step in what I assume they're going to do is start then, you know, the phasing out of the physical media kind of side of things, because that's been a lot of discussion around that, the fact that...
What happens to it,
It's also just like, I can't assume that I can get every single game that's released on Xbox, as in like what would typically be a retail title on physical media on Xbox anymore.
That's also a fascinating thing, because not so much in America. So if you're in the US, you buy something in the store, it's pretty much always $60 new, or 70 now US, or online, like digitally it's 70. But we don't have that in Australia. Australia is like a weird market where like our money, like me, like PlayStation games could be like $120 digitally, but in the store they can be like 90 or 80. It's like a huge difference. So for you, that kind of fucks you up, because it's like, it could be a huge dollar difference, man.
That's the thing. It's like,
That's interesting. And
at that point, like, to me, you're already training your Xbox players to not buy games in the hope that they just come out in Game Pass. There's already games that would have bought that already, but I'm like Marvel's Midnight Suns, right? A game that I'm actually interested in getting, but I'm like, that just feels like a Game Pass game.
Yeah, it does. I know.
So I'm like,
it's like Suicide. That's like Suicide Squad.
Yeah, every time I go to buy it on special, even digitally, and it's like $30, I'm like, I'll buy it, and I probably won't play it right away, and then by the time I go to play it, it'll get out of the Game Pass, and I'll be like, well, there you go. So you're already training players to do that. But anyway, we'll see if they mention that stuff.
All right, let's get back into it.
We build the investments we do with things like crossplay, cross progression, the things that we're doing with cloud. How do we actually give more options to game creators so they can have the greatest success? I think one of the fun recent examples about this is actually Pal World. You know, Pal World was able to launch. They were a game preview. They launched in Game Pass. They also simultaneously launched in Steam. And through the combination of those things, you know, Pocket Pair was able to have this outsized success.
And, it
was the largest third-party Game Pass launch ever. And that's all because we give creators options on how they can launch their games. We've got subscription. We've got retail. We've got free-to-play. We've got free preview. We have the consoles. We have our experience on PC. And they can access all of those things. And when we step back and just look at the performance of our platform all up, we know it's working. We're at the highest level of users on console, the highest level of users on PC, the highest level of users on cloud ever. We have double-digit growth rate on PC and cloud, places where we're enabling creators
to actually reach new players
beyond the console ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're leaning into it and doing more, because we see all those signals.
So we're talking about the role that hardware plays for creators, for the games and those communities. What about the role that hardware
Bill
plays for
like
us as a business
holiday.
For Xbox?
Oh, he looks horrible.
When we look
she
at
looks
our
energized.
Hardware, it really
it's
is.
Like I said at the start, she looks very
earlier,
like, positive
it's body
language.
It's where you get like, the most flagship seminal experience of Xbox. And it also represents a developer target. Our developers can build the specs of our hardware, and we invest to make sure they know when they do that, that the games are going to grow great on our hardware, but they're also going to be able to be accessed across any stream, any screen, because of all the other investments
any stream.
We make.
She's,
so we're
she
giving
accidentally
them an
said
easy
the word.
Way to access as many players
no,
as possible.
Any screen.
And we actually
any stream,
have more creators
game is gonna be
right
streamed.
Now building for
don't,
Xbox
don't
than ever
stream.
Before, thousands. By nature, yeah. thousands of them, by nature of those investments. And we got more to come. There's some exciting stuff coming out in hardware that we're going to share this holiday. And we're also invested in the next generation.
What did you say?
And what we're
some
really focused on there
hardware,
is delivering the largest technical leap you will
it's
have
be
ever seen in a hardware generation.
It's
yeah.
gotta
it better
be.
For
she
players
said streaming as well.
For
she accidentally said streaming by accident.
And then when we're talking about hardware too, there's these other considerations that are really important to our community, probably to each one of ourselves as well. When you talk about library, because I want to dig in on that a little bit more, you know, as we talk about cloud in the wider entertainment industry, there's conversations about streaming. How is that impacting how I own my content that I've invested in? So what can we say about our stance around game preservation?
Yeah, you know, one of the highlights for me of being in this position was getting to stand on stage when we announced back compat coming to Xbox One. Like, it was fantastic. People were reading the teleprompter before I could read it. I'm a slow reader. And just feeling the energy in the auditorium as we were saying that and online. You know, one of the cues I think us as being part of Microsoft take is looking at Windows and how Windows over decades has maintained software compatibility with things that are built on it. Like, I can still go back and play some of the games that I love playing on Windows from decades ago, and it will still run. And we try to bring that same view to consoles. It's harder in console because the line between what the hardware is and what the game is in consoles is traditionally, it's tighter, which makes compatibility, you end up doing these generational compatibilities that we've built. But I will say compatibility, the ability to not only play the games, but my saves are still there with our cloud save systems to try to keep the services up as long as we can so that people can play, is a tenet of what we are as Xbox. It's at our foundation. And when we look at future hardware generations and what we're going to support, making sure that we respect, which is the word I use, respect the investments that people have made in Xbox going forward is fundamental. And the fact that you get entitlements when you buy a game from us on both Windows and Xbox also means you have the ability to play that game across a multitude of devices, which I think furthers the compatibility of the games that you own. Mm-hmm.
Can we go back to what Xbox stands for today? I think we've pretty much covered all of the elements, but if you could break it down for
exclusive
me.
Games.
You know, when you play on Xbox, what we're saying is you're playing on a platform where you know the biggest games in the world are always going to be. You're playing on a platform where you get to access Game Pass. And all of the games from our incredible range of studios will always launch in Game Pass day one.
No.
And you're playing on a platform that's dedicated to you, like player-first features, cross-play, cross-save, cross-progression, backwards compatibility, being able to play your games in your library anywhere you want because of the investments that we make in cloud gaming. And so you're playing somewhere where you're investing and you know you get to take the games forward with you and across all of the screens where you are. And I think most importantly, Xbox is a place where you know when you're investing in Xbox, you're investing somewhere that is dedicated to making games more successful and creators more successful so that they can invest more and bring
make
even better experiences
console.
To you
no
all
way.
The time.
Yeah, just that investment in the studios is so, and we feel that as part of First Party with the platform proximity. You know, it's kind of amazing now to look out across all the studios that we've got and just be reminded that we're now one of the biggest development organizations in the industry. What does that mean for players? It means that the biggest games are going to continue to come to Xbox. And this 2024, the year coming up, we've got more than 10 major releases coming up. Great stuff. Hellblade 2. We've got Diablo expansion. We've got Avowed, Ara, the Indiana Jones game. Mm-hmm. And there's more in development, which I think we're going to be able to share more about at our June showcase coming up pretty soon.
Well, I guess I should get ready to work on that show. Well, thank you all for showing up on the podcast today, and we'll see the rest of you this June.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tina.
Thank you.
There you go, man.
Weird ending.
Yeah.
Weird ending.
What do you think?
I
think, like, yeah, it's kind of, I get your point before. It's like, how are people going to react to this? I feel like people are just going to go, man, this console's dead. I genuinely don't think they said Series X or Series S once through the whole thing.
The clued in people, the people that actually pay attention, yes. I'm more interested to see the shit show from the people that are just blind.
Yeah.
I like, they didn't say anything about this stuff. And as 100% what you said, it's what they didn't talk about.
Yeah.
They barely talked about their console.
I barely said the word console.
And that's
like crazy.
And that's the big talking point. Yeah. It's the exclusivity is obviously the big one that was talking about, but it was like, what does that mean for the console? It was like the flow and effect from them releasing these previously exclusive games. It's like, what does that mean for the future of the console business?
Yeah.
We know that they're, you know, Xbox is likely not going away as a platform.
No, and we've never said that.
And Game Pass is not going away because they want to have Game Pass. You know, I've already got it on PC. They want to have that on mobile. They want to have it on anything they can get it on. But the point is the console, and this did not give me any confidence at all that they have that in their future plans.
Yeah. No, and it's, and if they are, like, if they are going to do something like a next-gen console, it's like, why would they not say something about it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and the thing is also, you know, they've got a lot of these, you said they need to make these decisions now or soon.
Yeah.
But the point is that a lot of the stuff is still probably up in the air. So they have to... I would have wanted more clarity, but at the same time, it's like they probably can't even make a decision on that stuff right now, because it's like there's that, those wheels are probably still turning around all that, you know, because
yeah.
Like there's a chance that you know, like they're not the top of Microsoft, you know, and at the end of the day, that's where probably some of those high level decisions are coming from. So
yeah, it was kind of a weird, like, I don't know if it really actually took any of the steam out of the situation, you know what I mean? Like, sort of, I don't know, you still look at it and you go, well, you still haven't really given a direction. And I feel like that's just like the style that Phil has been doing all the way through, which is talk out of the side of his mouth all the time, you know, like try to have a bet each way. Oh yeah, we're gonna, you know, we're doing this because we want exclusive content for Series X, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's like, now with this, they say nothing about that. And then the logic makes zero sense. Like, oh, we want to bring it, so then it's gonna like bring people into Xbox. It's like, that doesn't make sense.
And to me, they kind of loosely said something in this vein, but they didn't say that it was 100%, which is, you know, they're looking at games that are older games, right? Mm. Now, to me, what I would have tried to commit to was, hey, if you're an Xbox player, our first-party games are always going to release on Xbox first, or an Xbox on PC, whatever, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They're always going to come first. Yeah, like, yeah. Try to give the confidence that, hey, if you have an Xbox console and we put out a new Doom, like that, just as an example, right? They put out a new Doom, you're going to be able to play it on an Xbox console first.
Yeah.
You know, eventually, if we decide to branch that out to other platforms, you still had the 12, whatever. Like, to me, it's like, that would have given some more confidence that, hey, I own an Xbox console. That's where I buy most of my games, or I buy my games. Mm. I haven't made a horrible decision this generation, because at least some of those games, I don't have to wait.
Yeah.
Now, they kind of said, as I said, like, the games they're looking at are older games, but they definitely didn't say anything in the vein of, hey, the next Elder Scrolls is definitely coming to Xbox before it goes anywhere else, you know, not including PC or something. So yeah. It's like, to me, I think they could have said something in that direction if that was their plan, and that could have given some people more confidence. But the point is, then that stops them from being able to, you know, like, to say, okay, Elder Scrolls 6 or whatever needs to, or yeah, 6 needs to come out on PlayStation the day it comes out, you know. So.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I know that they're in a bit of a rock and the hard place, but I just think you're doing this, you know, like when Nintendo with the Wii U was struggling and stuff like that, and people were like, oh, they should just put like Mario on PlayStation, right? Imagine that scenario, and then Nintendo starts to go, okay, we're not going to put like Mario or Zelda on PlayStation, but we'll put like the smaller titles, like Advance Wars on PlayStation, stuff like that. And, you know, I think you look at it and you go, well, like, how's that going to bring you back? You know what I mean? Like, you're basically going, we've got so many things that are exclusive here, and we're going to start putting some across. It's just going to shrink that island to make it even more damning to go, well, why would you buy it in the first place? Like, I just don't get it.
You know what's going to be really bizarre is if some of those titles start, like, popping up in PS Plus.
Well,
imagine that'd be really weird.
Well, I mean,
like, if Pentiment is a PS Plus game or something, you know.
Well, but I don't think that would really be that.
No, it's like... just a bizarre concept to me, the fact that a Microsoft like game, previously exclusive game, is suddenly on a Sony subscription service. It's just, that's really weird to me, if that ever happens. It probably won't, but
it's just like, the more and more they're doing this, it's a bit like, I don't know, I still just feel like it's so inevitable. It's like, I don't understand how this is a step to a bigger next-gen PS6 equivalent console. I just don't see it.
You know what would be really... Stop, like, the idea is funny in my head, that some of these games, Sony just turn around and go, no, actually, you can't publish it on here. It's just like, as a fuck you. It's like, nah, actually, we're not going to allow you to publish Grounded on PlayStation. Just as a random thing, it's like an egg in the face kind of thing. I don't even know if they can prevent, like, I don't know how.
Oh, of course they can. They can. Of course they can. They can say no. Of course they can.
But you know what I mean. It's like, that just would imagine funny. If they did that for no, a particular game.
We'll let you die.
Exactly. It's like, even your backup plan. It's like.
But yeah. I think that's the funny thing. They're probably looking and going, yeah, cool. Like, great. Like, this is really going to fuck you now. You know? Yeah. Also funny that they said nothing about, like, Blade. You know how that was, like, still kind of, like, up in the air? Like, they never confirmed one way or the other?
Well, yeah, they didn't really talk at all about any games other than...
Indiana Jones and Starfield.
Confirming they're not one of the four, which we knew, you know?
Yeah, and it's, so. But don't you still feel like it's, like, for now? Like, whenever they go, something's exclusive, I'm like... And I
definitely know that they're definitely going to be on PlayStation. It's just they're not those four, that's all.
Yeah, and by the way, like, I'd love to go back and listen to it. I won't do this because I'm too lazy, but did they say it's exclusive to Xbox, or did they say it's not coming to any other platforms? Do you know what I mean? What? Like, Indiana Jones and Starfield.
Oh, no, he said it's not, they're not part of those four.
Yeah, exactly. But see, that's a big difference, right? That's a fucking huge difference. But like, because I just don't trust anything when they say, oh, I don't know, Starfield. You know, the word exclusive to me is just like, you can't even.
Yeah.
Like, that means nothing now.
I think he answered that one okay, because he definitely didn't say not in the future or anything, you know. Like, he was just saying it's not of those four games that they were talking about.
Yeah, sure.
Which is weird to me. Like, I understand that there's, like, important marketing rollout plans and all the shit for this stuff, and stuff that's been obviously in the works for a long time.
Yeah.
But to me, it just would have been nice for him to say, these are the four games. Just to say them, you know.
Look, you know what it almost subtly confirms as well, though? That there's probably going to be a Nintendo Direct in the next week. And they have Hi-Fi Rush on there. And Nintendo's crazy. Mm. If you announce anything before, they have crazy agreements. Like, they're like literally like, if you mention it in any way, we'll just drop it from the Direct. Mm. And like, maybe even not even launch it. Like, there's been some indie studios that have fucked that up, right? Mm. So don't you think that that's a real live possibility as well? It's like, because he did mention something like, and our partners or something like that. So. Yeah.
There's also an interesting Valentine's Day tweet from the Sea of Thieves Twitter account that basically, like, the whole roses red, violets blue thing, but it's like, then it said, like, green and white as well.
Mm.
So that was quite funny, but anyway.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. It just feels like it was kind of nothing, but it was more the what they didn't say.
It's kind of exactly what I expected.
Kind of. I don't think it just took the energy out of it, though, to me. It's like...
I thought they would announce at least those three. I thought that they would at least announce Sea Thieves, Pentiment, and Hi-Fi Rush. But everything else was exactly what I expected. Ambiguous, no commitments to really anything other than, hey, these... we bring games to Xbox players kind of bullshit.
Yeah, and which... platform. Xbox platform. Platform.
Yeah,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. What else was there? Blanked. Oh, just quickly on the hardware. Because it's kind of weird for them to just drop in and we've got like an exciting hardware announcement.
I think it makes sense that it's that Keystone streaming stick because they've already got it. They've already made it.
It's got to be, right? Because it'd be like bizarre to go, oh, you know, it's going to be like a handheld, you know, like a Steam Deck competitor. Like, what a weird way to like subtly announce that, right?
Yeah, and unless it is that refresh, but I don't think they'd probably say the refresh is an exciting hardware announcement because there's Yeah, like that's a weird thing to
do. Do you mean like about. Like a Xbox Series X Pro? Do you mean equivalent?
No, the refresh that were in those documents.
What's a refresh?
It's just basically just a slightly
like different. Slim.
No, I don't even know if there was any like changes to the model. It was the one that was the digital Series X that had the biggest storage, and the controller had some improvement that I can't remember, but basically but that's what I'm getting at. That's a weird thing I think to kind of hint at with that.
No, I think that'd be crazy.
Yeah, so
because it's got to be additive, not subtractive, or like it can't kill the, you know, the no momentum on the Series X anyway, but yeah.
But, all right, man. I mean, I'll just say, like, with that, that makes sense to kind of launch that after they've really phased out a lot of the physical media sales in retailers and stuff. Because at that point, well, then you have to buy everything digital if you want a new game. You
know? I don't know what it looks like overseas, but in Australia, it feels like the Xbox section of, like, JB Hi-Fi, EB Games, like, all of the different players is so small now, dude. It's freaking insane.
A lot of some of the big retails, I can't remember if it's Best Buy or someone else in the US, like they've actually already stopped stocking Xbox stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Whoa, holy shit. That's actually a while back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Because Australia is much more like, I don't know the exact splits. I don't think it's ever been, I don't think there's real good data on it, but Australia seems to still be holding onto the physical stuff because of the price differential. Mm. Plus, like, we've had shitty internet for a long time. So I think people are more still in the habit of buying physical, but. Yeah, that's just something I noticed. It's like, even when they rejigged the stores, like, it would always be, like, PlayStation's always the biggest in Australia for a long time, and then, like, Xbox, and then Switch was, like, low, and then it's kind of come through. And now it's almost like, yeah, in some of the stores I see, it's like, Xbox is just, like, one little row or something. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of crazy. All right, man. Well, that was interesting.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't think we'll... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what next step is with the Xbox, right? It's kind of a weird one.
I think we probably, it'll be interesting to see the June showcase because they, I think they really need to, there's some games that they've just had in their back pocket and I think they really need to start bringing them out. So.
Yeah, and they just, you know what, they just don't have a simple message because to your point, it's like Activision Blizzard games, are they coming day one? Are they not day one?
Hmm.
You know, all this kind of stuff, it's like everything's got caveats and asterisks and like... Oh, footnotes, like, oh, this game, but that game, this one will be multiplayer, this one won't be, and this one you can pay extra for early preview, and like, it's like, Jesus, man, like, it's not simple to explain to anyone.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, fun man. Times.
Yeah, all right. Have a good one. All right.
Yeah.
Bye.